Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is on assignment. However, if Alan were here with us today, he would give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. The Alan Nathan Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue. And when I say allow, as if we exist at their pleasure, I mean, we kind of do, but Alan, see, he was on his own for a while before the Main Street Radio Network. He is the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. He's been around since 1998. Main Street Radio Network, on the other hand, only since 2010. So there's 12 years there where Alan was out there on his own fighting for sponsors and all that, so he's familiar with how the system works. He can get back into it if needed. We don't need you, Main Street Radio Network, but thank you very much anyway for your support. And if you want to give them some gratitude instead of grief, you can go to mainstreetradionetwork.com, find a nice contact page there, and send them a letter of thanks. And you can also find out more about the Alan Nathan Show. You can find out about the Silker Joe Show. You can find out where to listen to them, podcasts and all that sort of thing, right there on mainstreetradionetwork.com. But Alan has his own website, alannathan.com, which, in addition to having podcasts for his show up there as well, you can also find his columns, articles, etc., because he has done all that sort of thing in the past. In fact, he had one earlier this year. I think he had two earlier this year come out. So it's all up there, mainstreetradionetwork.com and alannathan.com. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. And you can find Main Street Radio Network on social media, Facebook and Wimkin, at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter/X at Main Street Radio. And you can find Alan Nathan on Twitter/X as well at Alan Nathan. All right, now at this point, on those social media outlets, you would read the pre-written topics for the show. I got mine right here, but I did not angle the monitor properly, so I've got my eye with a cataract staring at them instead of the eye that's normal and strong. Some congressional Republicans vote against releasing Epstein files and try to stop Trump's $9 billion rescissions package. Are they trying to sabotage the midterms? Also, FBI announces investigation into Obama administration for targeting political enemies. Will we see justice, or is this the Republicans' version of the Mueller probe? Finally, New York Times reveals Biden didn't approve every auto pin pardon, while ABC News interprets the article as Biden approving them. Does ABC know it's ABC's? So that last one, it's a real quick one. What happened was the New York Times, Alan's talked about the auto pin stuff before. It's where Joe Biden didn't actually sign possibly anything that he signed while president. It was the system called an auto pin. It's like those electronic signatures where, you know, you draw your signature, like, you know, if you're at the grocery store or something and you have to sign. You know, you've been doing this for decades. You put your little signature on the pad. Well, what they do is they have Joe Biden just put a signature in once, and then it creates this sort of digital stamp of his signature that's placed on whatever the hell you want to place it on to effectively sign in Biden's name. And Joe Biden, even though in the New York Times article he claims, and this is what ABC News picked on, in the New York Times article, Biden claimed he personally approved everything, even the auto pen stuff. But the trouble is, the New York Times reported in like the next paragraph that no, he actually didn't do that. And I think the New York Times also said something like that Biden wasn't particularly coherent during the interview. So what does ABC News do? They pick up on the first part. They ignore the rest of it. They just pick up on the part where Biden issued the denial, and they treated that as gospel because, well, it's ABC News. You expect them to actually report the news? You silly goose. I was surprised the New York Times even had the story, honestly. So that's what all that is about. The ABC News just decided, you know, we're gonna be like everybody else and only read the first, on average, two or three paragraphs of the story. And even though the next paragraph said the exact opposite of what this paragraph says, because we're just gonna pick up this exact paragraph and put it on social media and hope no one else reads the fine print either, i.e. the rest of the article. Isn't that great? And ABC News, of course, is supposed to be one of the most prominent news sources, as well as the New York Times, I guess, as well. So you've got two very prominent news outlets here contradicting one another. What's the average Democrat supposed to believe? Well, they're probably just going to go with the ABC News tweet because it was less damaging than the New York Times article. And the New York Times, I'm surprised they even published it, like I said. I mean, this is the same news outlet where when they published the Mamdani, the incoming New York City mayor, let's face it, the election is going to win for him no matter what, because that's just how New York City rules these days. But the New York Times published an article showing how Mamdani lied about, or didn't tell the proper truth anyway, about his ethnicity when applying to Harvard University, even though he's Asian of some flavor, Middle Eastern or Far Eastern, I don't know which, don't care really, doesn't matter to me, I'm not in New York City. But he put African on the form because he was born in Uganda and spent like maybe a year there before they moved out. So he labeled himself as African, and he has also taken Asian identity as well. And that's what the New York Times was reporting on, things that actually happened, things that Mamdani admitted to. But the New York Times writers, or some folks on the New York Times staff, were absolutely vehemently objecting to this kind of publishing. They didn't want, somehow they thought this was a terrible thing for him to do, and that exposing it would sink his political chances or something. So they absolutely lashed out, New York Times' own staff lashed out against them for it. So that's why, coming after, on the heels of that, mind you, this was like last week that this happened, or the week before that this happened, you now get this article about Joe Biden. I guess maybe Joe Biden is fair game these days. But the thing is, it calls into question the pardons he did. Pardons for, like, Dr. Fauci, who the left made prayer candles for, and has, they tried to get, like, a St. Fauci's Day or something in the District of Columbia 5 years ago or 4 years ago. So that's the kind of person who his auto pen signature was not approved by Biden, but by somebody else. And that kind of person can now be in trouble. In fact, Rand Paul decided to reintroduce something or other, I lost the link here, related to this gentleman, Fauci, because of this auto pin revelation coming in that no longer was this pardon a blanket pardon. It's now it almost nullified, because, and now actually all the pardons have to be looked at now, because you just don't know. Are these pardons real or are they fake? All right, Rand Paul's article from Gateway Pundit. Rand Paul says he will reissue criminal referral of auto pin pardon recipient Anthony Fauci to Trump Department of Justice amid New York Times confirmation that Fauci pardon was not approved by Biden. And so we'll see where that goes. That would be terrific if that went somewhere. But just like this other story here, I don't about the FBI announcing investigation into Obama administration officials, I don't really think that that's going to go anywhere. It's going to be the Mueller probe 2.0, because no one in D.C. is actually held accountable for anything. At least Trump's doing the deportations, I guess, but whether it's the Epstein stuff or the all this stuff about targeting the Obama administration members. I say Obama administration or Obama administration officials because there's like so many names and there's only so many characters you get in your social media post for the topics, and that's what limits their length, right? But it's Barack Obama, it's James Comey, it's James Clapper, but he wasn't Obama. John Brennan is the one I was trying to name off the top of my head there and just botched. So John Brennan, James Clapper, James Clapper is the one I was accusing him for. Darn it. James Comey, not Clapper, Comey. James Comey, John Brennan, Barack Obama. Those are some of the names that the Trump administration FBI, I was about to call it the Obama administration FBI, then I was about to call it the Biden administration FBI. I'm getting lost in administrations here, folks. I've been at this job too long. So the Trump FBI is talking about investigating Barack Obama, James Comey, and John Brennan. Okay? So that's why I said Obama administration, because, you know, those are pretty big officials in the Obama administration, and just the names would take too long to list. So we'll see how that goes. I guess I keep saying that about things. We'll see how this goes. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if it goes. How about that? But I don't know if it will go anywhere. We were promised stuff on this Epstein files. We were told by the Attorney General that she had the list of Epstein clients on her desk to be reviewed, and nothing came of that. And now we see in Congress right now, the Republicans decided in a 7-5 vote on Monday on the Rules Committee that they weren't going to allow a Democrat-led amendment be passed to release the Epstein files. And boy, I'll give credit that we've actually had some of these people on this show before. Ralph Norman, who I really like having on the show because he's so easy to work with, he's great to talk with, he actually defied the Republican Party and sided with the Democrats on this vote. But we've had other folks who've been on the show before, Aaron Houchin from Indiana, and I think we had Morgan Griffith on 2 years ago. And I know I tried to get Virginia Fox. I don't remember if she was on the show. But they all voted to not release the Epstein files. So what's going on with that? Why are they blocking the full House from voting on any amendment to have a full release of the Epstein files? What are they trying to protect? And will we see the same kind of shenanigans with the Mueller probe? Or the Mueller probe 2.0 under Republicans, I should say, about the Obama administration.
Power demand and load growth is not a future problem. It's happening today. And that's coming from a number of sources, including AI and data centers, reshoring and manufacturing, as well as electrification of the economy. That means we're going to need all the resources we can possibly gather in order to power the system today and going forward. That will include dispatchable resources like nuclear, natural gas, and even the existing coal fleet used in tandem with resources like wind, solar, and battery storage that are energy resources that need supplements from the dispatchable resources. In addition, it's important that policymakers shrink the delta between aspirational policy goals and operational realities of the electric system. In doing so, we can mitigate costs and empower the market to deliver least cost solutions for consumers. If you want more information about these issues and more issues involving energy, go to epsa.org.
Self-care isn't just candles and bubble baths anymore. It's smart techie tools that actually help you feel better. And I've got 5 Renfo picks that are all on sale for Prime Day. First, the mini thermal massage gun, compact, powerful, and the head heats up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit to melt away muscle tension and soreness anywhere on the go. For tired eyes, the Iris 1 and the Iris 3 eye massagers use heat, compression, and Bluetooth music. The Iris 3 even has voice control and a cooling gel mask to fight screen fatigue and puffiness. Then there's the smart tape measure. It connects to your phone and tracks 18 body measurements, so you can actually see your progress over time. And last but not least, the new Renfo Shiatsu foot massager. Total 360-degree compression, deep kneading, soothing heat, and it's even FSA, HSA eligible. They're all discounted right now for Prime Day on Amazon, so grab them before they're gone. Search Renfo on Amazon to snag deals nearly 50% off.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. By Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he's on assignment. And we are joined for this segment by Jeremiah Mosteller. He is Policy Director at Americans for Prosperity. Jeremiah, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Hey, Joseph. I'm doing great. It's an exciting day here in Washington, D.C., and I was looking forward to talking with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to about this topic, the rescissions package. I mean, it is $9 billion in change, but that's still an important step towards more cuts. I mean, we got the great big beautiful bill with the Trump's tax cuts being codified, all the revenues that that's going to bring into the Treasury, and then the tariffs also have been working to give revenues to the Treasury. But I'm a greedy man. I don't want that to help pay for the other stuff that isn't paid for in the Trump tax cuts that the CBO was complaining about. I want more cuts to the government. But it seems that this rescissions package is meeting some opposition. I mean, Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican from Alaska, has stated some issues with it. So how do you see this rescissions passing by this weekend or what?
Well, I mean, Joseph, they have to do it. So Congress, both the Senate and then the House again, if the Senate makes any changes, has to be done with this process by 11:59 p.m. Friday night or this package expires. And so I think we are very confident. It sounds like leadership, such as Senator Thune and Speaker Mike Johnson, are very confident that they will be able to get this done by that deadline. We just saw, like just a few minutes ago, some hot updates for your listeners. Senator Rounds has confirmed he is a yes. He was previously someone that had raised some questions and concerns. But we also have other senators, like Senator Moran out of Kansas, who is saying they're still a work in progress. And they still need some additional questions answered before they can vote for it. So we're pushing our grassroots, and other organizations are as well, to get these senators to vote yes and to get behind this package so we can achieve this nearly $100 billion over 10 years in savings.
Hmm. That'd be wonderful. But what are the objections that they're raising to these cuts? And what's so potentially toxic about this package?
Yeah, most of the arguments, particularly from these Republicans, has been around the funding for NPR and PBS stations. Some of these senators have concerns about their rural areas within their states and how these are vital radio stations and TV stations for those areas. And I think I would agree with them. That's great. If their folks really like their local NPR and PBS affiliates, that's awesome. But we believe that the taxpayers should not be selectively forced to choose one media entity to support, particularly whenever there are other parts of those organizations that clearly have a partisan slant or agenda.
Right. You get the rural PBS station, for example. That seemed to be working against the interest of those congressmen with the coverage that they give.
That's right, Joseph. That is 100% right. And if those stations are that important, we believe the local communities will support them. And so this isn't a choice between whether they exist or not. It's essentially a choice of whether the federal government is going to fund them. That is the question being asked with this rescissions package.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the solutions then that would be proposed to them? Like, how are they convincing these senators to just not worry about it? Or are they saying, well, maybe we'll do a separate bill that funds some sort of public service station in your area?
Yeah, so there's a few pathways, essentially two main pathways that the Senate could move forward with this. One is just having conversations with those senators and understanding whether their concerns are legitimate concerns or they are based on myths and falsehoods being circulated by the left. In some cases, that seems to be what's happening, senators just have not read all of the details and are now getting educated on it. And so that's why you see folks like Senator Rounds and others flipping their vote and coming to support now that they truly understand what the impact is going to be. But there is also the possibility that they can edit this package. They can amend out anything or any portion of things that they have concerns with. Now that means the package now has to get another House vote. But they do have that possibility as well. And so there could be some deals cut in that way to cut out certain line items within this rescissions package.
Well, if they did cut out NPR and PBS, how would that affect the overall price tag on the package as to what it cuts?
Yeah, so that would mean that we lose about $1.1 billion or $10 billion over 10 years in savings if they were to cut out that entire line of funding. And again, that means it has to go back to the House, and the House is going to have to vote on it as well. And I think you would see that there are a number of House members that would not be excited about the amount of savings being reduced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by about a 10% cut to it, and it's such a small bill anyway, and that $9.2 billion, you'd think that the people in the House will be like, what, you can't even pass this tiny little puny amount?
Yeah, and Joseph, I mean, the reality, and I think one thing that senators need to keep in mind is that the White House has made it very clear that this is a test of whether Congress will do its job. And the White House wants to send more packages, and they want to send bigger packages, but they're not going to do that if Congress can't do its job. And so senators need to step up. They need to engage with this process, and they need to move this package forward.
Yeah, this doesn't bode well for the midterms next year if this test package, this tiny test package, doesn't even make it through.
Yeah, and the reality is all of these members have talked about for years or decades wanting to cut federal spending, and this is the easiest way to do it is through a rescissions package, because the White House has identified spending that they either don't need to make or don't want to make, and then Congress can approve it. This is the easiest way to finally do what they've been saying for years they want to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as the NPR stuff, you'd think they would have been ready by now, because Mitt Romney back in 2012 talked about doing that. So, like, why did they not think that this would be coming down the pike eventually when they got a Republican president, when it was stated as an agenda item by Mitt Romney, of all people?
That's right. And, I mean, when you have agreement between Mitt Romney and the House Freedom Caucus on something, a Republican who does not vote for this is not acting like a Republican.
Indeed. And makes you question how they're going to do in the midterms next year, and then how are we going to have a Republican majority after that, and what agenda items will we not be able to accomplish?
That's right. I mean, there is a chance that the Senate flips after the midterms, and so even though these packages only require 51 votes, there's a chance that there isn't even 51 Republican votes for these types of things post the midterms. I hope that's not the outcome, but that is a possible outcome from the midterms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully they'll pass this simple bill in some way. I mean, even if it does go back to the House with the 10% cut for NPR and PBS being able to remain intact, there will be opposition from Republicans in the House, of course, but will they just, do you see them just stomaching it and voting for it and going after NPR and PBS in some other measure? Or do you see them as drawing the line and saying, if you can't do this little, then what are you even doing?
Yeah, I think the House will be in a bind. I think they will have to move it forward with that piece removed, given the timeline, to make sure that this package doesn't expire on Friday at midnight. But what they can do, because they're working on the appropriation bills right now, is they can strip that funding out of appropriations for the next 2 years and achieve the same outcome. And so the House does have other ways to do this.
All right. Well, hopefully, regardless of what goes through, we do get some kind of spending cut by the end of the week with this rescission bill. But Jeremiah Mosto, I appreciate you being on the show to talk about this. We've got about 20 seconds left. Where can I just find out more about Americans for Prosperity?
Yeah, Joseph, thanks for having me on. They can go to AmericansForProsperity.org.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We're coming to a break, but more Alan Nathan Show after this.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Alan today while he's on assignment. We are joined for this segment by J.C. Shepherd. He is founder of Wimkin Social Media and the Fentanyl Test. And even though we've had him on to talk about both over the last couple of years, I have no idea why I put together that it was the same person, because he first was under the name Jason Shepherd, then under the alias J.C. Shepherd, which was apparently enough to fool me. But Jason Shepherd, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Hey, Joe. Thanks so much for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So, As you were working with Wimkin Social Media, you know, censorship of social media outlets is a pretty major issue. And we found out that this person who may have been involved in that was also involved with the AutoPens and AutoPen pardons, according to the New York Times, like pardoning Dr. Fauci. And this individual is Jeff Zients. He is the, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He was President Biden's chief of staff. What do you make of these revelations?
Well, I mean, we obviously, I think I've been on your show multiple times actually discussing the Merck case in Missouri and Texas when they were suing the Biden administration to basically shut down censorship. But if you recall those, you know, essentially what this individual who comes out now that Zients was doing as chief of staff was basically coaxing and almost even seems like blackmailing the tech companies to take down any bad information on COVID, any true information on COVID, I should say, you know, and any basic negativity against Biden or the Biden administration in any way, shape, or form. So now that the fact he's, you know, he's come out as Mr. AutoPen and these, you know, preemptive pardons here, which I don't believe are worth, you know, anything in their manner, it's definitely a huge revelation.
And Rand Paul would agree about their worth. He just recently reintroduced a measure to go after Fauci now that the criminal referral of Fauci, now that the we've learned that it wasn't Biden who gave the auto pen pardon.
Yeah, I mean, I truly don't think they're worth anything. And I can't recall. I don't think there would have been any reason to do an Adam Schiff pardon. But, you know, you never know with what that administration did. But, you know, now that he's under investigation for mortgage fraud, I mean, these things are really starting to come out here. And then I can't recall how many were done on the last day, but there were several. I think the whole entire Biden crime family was pardoned. Definitely, of course, Fauci and many other major players in that administration.
Oh, yeah. Now, I remember that there were some people who were complaining afterwards that they were left out of the AutoPen pardons, as if it was just something free to give out to everybody.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, realistically, I've not seen, even though I would probably be a little bit vindictive and upset about the way I was treated with, first and foremost, election fraud. Secondly, you know, them trying to take him off the ballot any way, shape, or form, also trying to take his head off, you know, his life away. So I would probably be a little bit vindictive and weaponize my Justice Department just to get back at them. But, you know, honestly, you haven't seen that with Trump, but you certainly saw that with Biden.
Right. Yeah. Whereas the Biden Justice Department, I mean, you had what, the one major lawyer quitting in order to help out the New York State people trying to with their cases against Trump. And then apparently some coordination between those cases and the Biden administration. With Trump, it's been a little different. We haven't seen that kind of coordinated effort, although he's finally coming after the Obama administration for spying on his campaign with the FBI. Now that they've got this new document from James Comey's era in the FBI, they're looking at possibly some sort of criminal thing about political persecution for Obama, Comey, and John Brennan.
Yeah, I don't think Comey made a very good decision, first and foremost, with how that investigation rolled out. I mean, obviously not charging Hillary Clinton with, you know, classified emails and such. But when he wrote 8647 in the sand with those stones, that was a really bad idea for him to do that. I mean, as, you know, former FBI director. But, you know, I truly think that you might finally see some justice because, you know, this isn't political or weaponization of the Justice Department by Trump. This is truth. And it's going back on, you know, what true really happened, has been proven to happen. And I think it's time we definitely start to see some heads roll in terms of prison sentences.
Yeah, if we don't, well, first of all, the base is going to be upset because this is going to be the Trump administration's version of the Mueller probe if it goes nowhere. And Democrats didn't like that when it happened to them. Republicans aren't going to like that when it happens to us when we got the midterms next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, obviously, midterms right now are looking, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I study this every day. They're looking very bad at this point in time. So if we don't see any type of prosecutions in these cases, I mean, the Epstein factor, you have to do something. You have to seriously talk upon this subject. You have to tell us that, hey, the Democrats destroyed it all. I mean, I don't know what you have to say, but you have to address this. You can't say there's nothing here after promising and Bondi speaking horribly on, you know, first and foremost, parading around conservative influencers with phase one classified. You know, they made it a spectacle, and now walking it back, it's disastrous for midterms.
Right. And then you have these House Republicans that voted against Congressman Ro Khanna, Democrat, his amendment to some bill in order to get the Epstein files released.
Yeah, that was, in my opinion, I mean, they played right into the Democratic fans or Democrats' hands here with doing that, because that's obviously why he released it. I thought maybe it was a political move on our part to get Democrats to come out and vote against it. But unfortunately, that seems like it worked against us.
You know, Democrats probably knew that the Republicans weren't serious about it, and, you know, especially after seeing how the Trump administration last week handled these revelations. I mean, releasing the tape, which some are saying doesn't even show his cell because he was upstairs instead of downstairs where it's pointing, and then also just denying that there was ever a list, even after saying that there was a list on the Attorney General's desk.
Yeah, you can't expect us as a base. I mean, obviously, Trump he would have my vote. Obviously, any Republican in the midterms would have my vote. But you can't expect everyone to be like that, you know, such hardliners here, because this is something that a lot of people came out, you know, for the first-time voters. And, you know, we can't afford to lose any votes, I mean, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, you already have some people upset about Iran. You have people upset that, you know, Ukraine's now going to be getting weapons, even though they're making them pay for them. But this Epstein thing, this is the one that is not going to go away.
No matter how hard the Republicans might try to bury it and get their voters to forget about it. And now, also, right this week, we're talking about this rescissions bill, too, that some Republican senators like Lisa Murkowski are trying to hold up a bit, and because they don't want NPR and PBS defunded for some reason. So it's like there seems to be a concerted effort to lose the midterms before they even start next year.
Well, I mean, I really thought Murkowski would probably have become a Democrat by now, but it's absolutely true. I mean, if you look at, and I know you know this working in broadcasting, of course, everything that NPR and, you know, these places that should, in my opinion, be defunded, you know, they have not been objective in any way, shape, or form. It's been slanted one way, and that's not news. That's opinion.
Yeah, and why is the U.S. government funding opinion that usually that half the time goes against the U.S. government if a Republican is in charge? It doesn't seem, it seems very counterintuitive.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, they just, honestly, I think everyone needs to meet, they need to sit down, and they need to say, hey, listen, you're really misjudging your base on these issues, and it's time to rein this in. And again, I don't know specifically, I don't think any of us knows what's going on with the files. I mean, to be honest with you, I certainly don't believe them that there's nothing there. I mean, you can't have a woman in prison with 1,000-plus victims, you know, doing a 20-year prison sentence when there was no fines. So just isn't the way it has to be. They must scale this back. They must pull it back and somehow make it work in our favor. And I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't involve lying to us, because I think we're being lied to right now.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you see this having a lot of staying power in the midterms at this point. I mean, if, say, suddenly Epstein, the issue disappears from the news cycle, I mean, it's still going to be going around dinner table conversations and social media. But if it just drops out of the news cycle and we see nothing, and maybe the Republicans get a bigger than $9 billion rescission cut sometime next year, just in time for the midterms, and would that take the oxygen out of the room? Or are there sins they're committing now not going to be washed away by then?
You know, I don't believe they'll be washed away by then. I mean, luckily we have some time, but, you know, right now all we're doing is creating massive fodder for the left, and I can just really envision all these, especially in some highly contested areas, I could just see the ads saying, you know, Trump administration promised that they would release these, now they're protecting their rich friends. Like, that's what they're going to do, and it might be very effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if the Republican involved in that district race. I don't know what the race is of the five Republican or the seven Republicans who voted to not release the Epstein files just this past session. I don't know if their races are hotly contested, but I mean, if one of them is, there you go. That's what the ad campaign is going to be about.
Yeah, that was a very genius move by the Democrats to force that vote. I really thought that Republicans would say yes, but there's something definitely behind the scenes. I mean, you have so many conspiracy theories. One that actually makes sense is the Mossad CIA agent. It's getting some traction.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I think that it could be possible the list was destroyed and Pam Bondi was just saying things on this TV, which really screwed everyone over. But we'll see how it goes, whether you're right or I'm right. I hope I'm right. I don't want Mossad to be involved in this. But J.C. No. Shepard, real quick, where can our listeners find out more about Wimkin and the fentanyl test?
Yep, you can go to Wimkin.com. It stands for World Must Know Now in honor of free speech. And the fentanyl test, you can go to testeverydrug.com.
All right, J.C. Shepard, appreciate being on the Al Nathan Show. Listeners, stick around.
They have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public. We want policymakers. We want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriers still exist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode. We've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show, by Soaker Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Alan today while he is on assignment. So, managed to actually reach all of these topics here in this edition of the program. So, wrapping up this hour of the program where I've been talking about congressional Republicans voting against releasing the Epstein files, congressional Republicans trying to resist the $9 billion rescissions package, FBI going after the Obama administration for targeting political enemies, and also the New York Times revealing that Biden didn't approve every auto pin pardon while ABC News said otherwise after reading the New York Times' article. I mean, how egregious can you get, right? ABC News is talking about the New York Times article, but saying that the article says something that the article doesn't actually say. ABC News selectively picked the quotes from Joe Biden, where he was defending his use of the auto, well, his staff's use of the auto pin, saying he oversaw all of the pardons himself, only for the New York Times to report, actually, no, he did not, like, in that same article. But ABC News, they just went with the Joe Biden quotes, with, throwing the New York Times under the bus as being unreliable for what they said after that. At least that's the implication we must have, the conclusion we must draw, because why else would ABC News effectively implicitly call the New York Times liars? I wonder how many people at ABC News are protecting it. I mean, I would expect this crap from MSNBC because they actually have a former Biden administration official, the former White House communications director in charge of one of their TV shows there. But from ABC News, that's from the Clinton era. But it was Biden. It was Obama who was really running the Biden White House. It was his acolytes. There was not very much of a Clinton footprint for that. So why would ABC News, the pro-Clinton network, be helping out the Obama side? Intriguing how the alliances we see formed here. But yeah, it's just shoddy reporting because they flipped the coin. Do we protect Biden? Do we throw him under the bus? And the coin came up heads for protecting Joe Biden's head, which he doesn't have much of. And even the New York Times admitted he wasn't particularly cogent, was the word that they used. Biden's gone. His influence is done. And now we've learned that the people that he's pardoned with the auto pen, some of them aren't actually pardoned. Senator Rand Paul even reintroducing legislation for criminal prosecution for Anthony Fauci, who was pardoned by not Joe Biden, but actually his chief of staff. Joe Biden seems to have known nothing about that pardon, or even what an auto pen was, possibly, according to how the New York Times described him. So we'll hopefully see something come of this criminal referral for Fauci. But then you also have the FBI announcing their investigation into Obama administration officials as well. Barack Obama himself, the president, his FBI director, his director of national intelligence, or CIA director, whichever one John Brennan was. I think was he both during the years, or was he just CIA? He lied to Congress, so who cares? He's a liar. But what will we get out of that? Republicans can't even get a $9 billion rescissions package without fighting over that and trying to delay that. Republicans can't even do something so simple as releasing the Epstein files. So why should we expect them to carry forward with an investigation like this? Why should we expect anything to come of the referrals into Anthony Fauci? Why should we expect anything to come from the FBI under Trump investigating the Obama administration officials for political spying or for political interference? Well, I will say that one, because for all the talk that the left makes of Trump's ego, yes, he does have one. He probably is a bit of a narcissist. So he definitely might want that one to go through. He might be working on that one, pushing his FBI to do that. That's a little bit out of Congress's hands at this point. But as far as anything else the congressional Republicans can do, yeah, we probably shouldn't expect much from that. I think they're trying to lose the midterms. And should that be surprising to anyone? You have the Never Trump crowd who spent all this time trying to sabotage races. I mean, remember the 2022 midterms. Republicans tried to sabotage themselves then and pretty well succeeded. There was supposed to be a red wave, and the Democrats said, well, the red wave turned out to be a red mirage. Yeah, that's because of how hard Republicans fought to fight against themselves, fought to oppress the Trump wing of the party. Look at what happened. Mitch McConnell decided to reroute funds from struggling campaigns that had a chance to win to very safe campaigns that have no payoff, such as Lisa Murkowski, you know, the one who's holding up the rescissions bill, or one of the ones holding up the rescissions bill, one of the ones who's been very anti-Trump, one of the ones who's voted against the interests of the American people many times, and voted against what the general base of the Republican Party wanted. She's basically a Democrat. And, you know, we had a guest, J.C. Shepard. He wondered in the last segment why Lisa Murkowski hasn't announced she's a Democrat yet. It's because her job is safe as a Republican. That she has it good. She doesn't have to do anything. She just has to complain loudly and then vote no on some stuff. And it doesn't matter. And she is raking in the cash. She's one of the do-nothing Republicans whose seat is safe no matter what. Because Democrats, I doubt they run much against her because they might get a real Republican in Alaska if they oust her. And they don't want that, so they'll settle for this compromise candidate who sometimes might be against them, but overall is for them all the way. Sometimes votes against them to maintain cover, I guess. So she's a Democrat plant in the party, and Mitch McConnell in 2022 directed funds to keep her there, even though she had no serious competition. She was safe. And the funds were directed from actual pro-American candidates. And that wing of the Republican Party, are they the ones calling the shots right now? Well, look at the Senate Majority Leader. He's from that wing of the party. Is this how Republicans are going to go into the midterms? Deliberately weaken the party so that the last 2 years of Trump's administration, everything has to be done by executive order, which means everything will be undone by the next Republican. And in 2028, who the hell is going to vote for a Republican after Republicans sabotage themselves in the midterms and sabotage their chances in the following 2 years after the midterms until the election? And who is it that is going to be able to replace Trump? It ain't going to be any of those do-nothing Republicans. If the party decides to pull a Democrat party and rig the primaries in 2028 to select one of their own as the candidate, Democrats are just going to get a clean sweep in 2028. So we really need to make sure that Republicans are able to, you know, the ones who think their job is safe, like Murkowski, and who are pushing through crap like this, and who are behind the scenes handling stuff like this, the establishment wing of the party that seems to be safe no matter what they do to the public, even if they effectively just are Democrats in disguise and are not accurate alternatives to the Democrat Party, those people need to realize their stuff isn't safe. Their money isn't safe. They, not in the physical danger sense, just in the sense that they can't rely on voters like sheep voting for them forever and ever. Amen. They have to face actual consequences for not doing what the electorate wants, and then claiming that they are, and then claiming all this other crap that you just need to give them more money and more votes, and they'll do something that they have no intention of doing, because we've seen that play before. Thank you for tuning into this hour of the Alan Nathan Show. Our websites are mainstreetinternet.com and alannathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.